the radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, pay heed. As the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Three mountain climbers are missing on Mount Hood. Apparently, they left the Cooper Spur Ski Resort Thursday to climb the north side of the mountain. They're all experienced. They're in their 30s, but they're from out of state and never climbed Mount Hood before.
And they're from California?
Doesn't say here.
No.
Well, Portland Mountain Rescue said one of the men called his wife on his cell phone saying he was stuck in a cave. And the two others left him to find help but haven't come back. So apparently there's some help booth somewhere on Mount Hood.
They were going to find one of the many pay phones that covers Mount Hood.
There's a much harder ice, much deeper snow, more exposed rock than they ever thought. Imagine that. These people come from out of state, exhaust our resources, and wonder why we don't want people here.
If only there was some way that you could see what Mount Hood was like. If only there was some, I don't know, some way of collecting information and perhaps printing it onto papyrus and then maybe binding it. And then if there were furthermore a way to distribute these bindings, these book-like items, to maybe repositories all over the country. Or maybe there was a way to log onto the goddamn internet to see what the mountain was like before you decided to climb it, like a nitwit. Hi, I'm in a cave because I didn't bother to look this up on the web. So there you go. So some guys who were probably, and I'm not going to say that they went off the path, but it does seem likely.
Well, they left to find help.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of help to be found.
Good luck with
Mount Hood.
Wait, how do we know this, though?
In a mountain cave.
How do we know that they left the cave? I'm so confused.
The fellow called his wife on his cell phone, which later died, when all the help had been assembled to find exactly where he was.
Can you hear me? All right. So that's how we know, because he called and he's like, well, they left to find some, they'll be back. Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
So we'll let you know when they find it.
Climb your own mountains.
Mm-hmm. And breaking news here. The Portland Archdiocese has settled sex abuse cases. This is a big national story.
Oh, wait, is this a clergy watch?
I suppose it could be,
fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, for Monday, let's start the week with this. Your clergy watch.
Oh, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody. I got a body like you.
Ooh.
Because I gotta have sex.
About 150 people claiming they were sexually abused by priests have agreed to settle their lawsuits against the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Portland. Yes, one still exists. This from a federal judge. U.S. District Judge Michael Hogan told a news conference that all current and future claims could be covered by the Archdiocese without selling off property. But he refused to give a dollar amount. The Archdiocese of Portland was the first in the nation to seek protection from creditors when it went to federal bankruptcy court to head off a massive lawsuit claiming sexual abuse by the late Maurice Grammond, who worked at several parishes. Now, three other archdioceses, Tucson, Arizona, Spokane, Washington, and Davenport, Iowa, also sought bankruptcy protection in a flood of lawsuits by people alleging sexual abuse by priests.
Being molested in Spokane is doubly bad because you just know the guy's hideous.
Mm-hmm. Earlier this month, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles said it would pay $60 million to settle only 45 abuse lawsuits, but everybody wants a little bit more down there.
The best part here is that the story actually contains the phrase current and future lawsuits, because they're just sort of resigned to the fact that there's going to be like another 50 kids out there somewhere.
Roman Catholic Archdiocese in the United States have paid an estimate of $1.5 billion since 1950.
Hope you enjoyed it.
To handle the claims of sex abuse by priests.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Well done. The light of God moves ever onward. There's your clergy watch for Monday.
Because I got to have faith.
Nicole Richie, arrested for DUI early this morning. The California Highway Patrol says the 25-year-old was pulled over after fellow motorists spotted her driving the wrong way on the freeway into Burbank.
Excellent.
Harvey Levin says a young Hollywood has the money to skate including Nicole Richie.
They do have license to do what they do. They get away with it a lot. Nicole Richie has just hired a really huge lawyer in Los Angeles, I found out. His name is Howard Weitzman. He's represented O.J. Simpson. He's a huge lawyer. So, you know, she can afford it.
Oh, man. You know, I just pray. I just pray with everything in me. This would almost be enough to get me to go back to church. Just once, for a Nicole Richie type or a Paris Hilton type. You know, they used to have a phrase in the judicial system called, let's make an example of someone. And really, that I believe that's a thing that sadly has gone out of favor. When is the last time somebody in the legal system really got made an example of? I can't even think of it.
No.
I can't think of the last time a celebrity really got made an example of. When is the last time a real, true celebrity went to prison? I mean a real celebrity, not some James Traficant.
Robert Blake?
He's not in prison.
Well, he was.
Well, he was in. He was there on trial, right?
Right.
He was in a holding cell where they put him on trial. That's, and same with Phil Spector. I can't remember the last time a celebrity did real time.
Eddie Arbuckle?
He didn't go to prison, though, did he?
I don't remember.
I think he
There's got to be somebody around who's...
I think he just started hanging around and playing... he just started playing gin rummy with oh, God, my pop culture is failing me today. With what's-her-name? Norma Jean Desmond. I was going to say he's sitting there next to Buster Keaton playing gin with Norma Jean Desmond. That would have been so much funnier if I hadn't had to work for it there for a second. This is what it's going to be like when I'm old and infirm. So I can't remember that. Scotty's typing. No. Mel Gibson, he got arrested, but they let him go. Well, whatever. So maybe it's never happened. But just wouldn't it be satisfy something deep and dark that we deny but which still exists within all of us if, like, Paris Hilton was sent to prison and then just beaten repeatedly by a guard? I mean, how happy would that make all of us? I'm just saying that it's something we don't talk about.
This
but we
is Nicole Richie, though.
I know, but I'm saying I would accept Paris Hilton.
As a substitute.
Yeah. Yes, sort of like
who graciously decided that she would serve time for Nicole.
Paris Hilton cannot be here tonight. In her stead, we have Nicole Richie, who will now be beaten senseless by a guard. Oh, that'd be fantastic.
At 85 pounds, Nicole is obviously unhealthy.
85 pounds.
The irony to this is that she just got rid of her personal stylist because she said that woman, Rachel Zoe, was not promoting a healthy body image. And I can tell you that according to the booking stats that we obtained, her height is listed as 5'1", her weight 85 pounds.
85 pounds.
God.
Oh, good God.
That obviously cannot be said for Tori Spelling, who held a delightful yard sale over the weekend. Hundreds of fans and bargain hunters descended on her yard sale and walked away with wine glasses, paintings, lingerie, roller skates, a rubber duck, and other items.
Must have bought her bridle.
Memorabilia from her television show, Beverly Hills 90210, was quickly sold. One person paid $25 for a plastic Starbucks mug that reportedly maintained a smear of her lipstick. About 300 people showed up at Tori Spelling's dazzling Studio City estate sale at the rented home she shares with her husband, Dean McDermott. Spelling is pregnant with the couple's first child. They plan to open up a bed and breakfast and raise their child outside of Sin City, Los Angeles.
A bed and breakfast is the default setting for everybody. When they don't know what else to do, a bed and breakfast is exactly what they open. All right. Let's see. We've got... All right. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, I love your show. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I just heard your comment about who was the last guy made an example of. What about Boy George picking up garbage in New York City?
Yeah, I suppose. He didn't really go to jail, though, did he?
Yeah, but he had to deal with, all the photographers every day picking up trash. And, you know, didn't he, like, eventually just tell them all off?
Yeah, he told them to go get stuffed.
Anyway, love you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Peace.
I'm a little crazy. Yeah, I guess. He had to pick up trash. That didn't really count. Darren, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, I cannot believe you all get paid for this.
Yeah, well.
We can't either.
Yeah, I mean,
we're happy it happened.
It'll come to an end eventually.
Anyway, Robert Downey Jr. was probably the last one that actually went to jail.
Oh, that's true.
That is true.
No, that's true. And he's gone to jail like 100 different times. So that's true. He's sort of
I guess it did help.
Yeah, he... He's rehabilitated.
Yeah, they're different.
Yeah, no, Robert Downey Jr. is sort of, he's just like the proxy. He's just doing the jail time for everybody because you're right, he's gone to jail like a million times. And he really is the only one I can think of, though, so.
And according to him, it sucks.
Yeah, well, he's too pretty for jail. That's good. No, Robert Downey Jr., you're right. And I don't know, that guy, it's only a matter of time before he goes back. You know that that's the case.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Darren. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's do the battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Monday right here on the Rick Emerson Show.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Just a couple of weeks until the end of his run as U.S. Secretary General, Kofi Annan is urging the U.S. to do away with its go-at-it-alone policy. He spoke today at the Harry Truman Presidential Library in Independence, Missouri, criticizing the U.S. for human rights abuses that have been committed during the so-called war on terror, and tells Americans to fight back with the politicians.
Americans can make a crucial difference to many millions of people if you are prepared to save the Doha round of negotiations. You can do that by putting your broader national interest above that of some powerful sectional lobbies.
We don't do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not done here.
This is not. I'm sorry, you've misread where you're speaking.
You're thinking of America 1945.
This is a speech that will appeal to no one.
Well, we should spend our time handing out Hershey bars to the kids in Iraq. That'll make us. It also says, humanity unites all countries, whatever that means.
We must stress also what unites us.
Guys, put me to sleep.
Our common humanity and our shared belief that human dignity and rights should be protected by law.
Oh, what century is this guy living in? Seriously. Not going to happen. And where is he speaking? Missouri?
The Harry Truman Library.
That sounds
Independence, Missouri.
That sounds exactly like the kind of speech that would be given in Missouri. You know, just
how many people go to Missouri to make a speech?
I was going to say three people there in attendance. Everybody being put to sleep by the sound of honeybees buzzing outside the window. One of those old ass fans with the paper streamers in the front blowing back and forth. Well,
I seem to have forgotten the rest of my notes.
People churning butter on the front porch with a squeaky porch sweep.
I just flew in. Boy, are my arms tired. The spread of democracy.
Good God. All right, Alex, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, yeah, you guys are forgetting about the woman that did the hardest time that there ever was, Miss Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart.
Celebrity jailbird.
No, that's true. Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
I'll assume they forget.
And she did real time, right? That was like, was she in a real prison?
Yeah.
I think she went to the pen, indeed.
All right, so she was like in a super.
It was a great made-for-TV movie, too.
Well, what's her name, with the moonlighting chick,
I think
Sybil
Shepherd. That whole scenario would be great for all kinds of different genres of movie, I'm sure.
That would be great. They really ought to do fictionalized. That would be a thing that people would watch. Fictionalized made-for-TV movies about celebrities going to prison. Celebrities who haven't gone to prison probably won't. But, like, you know, we'll just show what would happen if they did. Again, I know I was latched on to Paris Hilton about these things. But just a movie showing what it would be like if Paris Hilton were to go to jail. I would totally watch that. We would all watch that. Paris Hilton goes to prison. And just a movie depicting Paris Hilton just being starved and beaten for 90 minutes. And then,
That's hot.
Thank you, sir. There you go.
You,
no, you're right, sir. It is indeed hot.
Mm.
All right, thank you. That's Alex. What are you cringing at, Tim?
Mm.
Carl, you're on the recovery.
Hey, Rick, you forgot about the main man, James Brown, who was trying to keep his wife in line and went to jail for it.
Yes, trying to keep his wife in line, also known as beating her.
Oh, a little abuse.
Yeah.
I don't think
he actually went to jail. I guess they were able to catch him eventually. I just remember him being on like a 9-county or like a 9-state car chase.
I can't even keep all these people together.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. What can you do, sir?
I don't know.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Carl at Southeast. Here's Tim Riley.
Oregon's own Republican Senator Gordon Smith has changed his mind. Used to like the war, and now he hates it. Telling ABC's this week he's highly disappointed by the way U.S. troops are being utilized in Iraq.
I have long believed, in a military context, when you do the same thing over and over again, without a clear strategy for victory, at the expense of your young people in arms, that is dereliction. That is deeply immoral.
That's just liberal pinko talk is what that is.
He's trying to get reelected.
Craziness.
On to me we go, because we've got to talk to the president, opening 3 days of intensive meetings on Iraq. Apparently this is study group number two, or after-school study group. The president is standing his ground, just what we'd like to hear. After high-level talks with the State Department, the president said the U.S. is willing to help this young democracy survive.
Like most Americans, this administration wants to succeed in Iraq, because we understand success in Iraq will help protect the United States in the long run.
Most Americans voted against your people. The president again vowed to analyze all recommendations about Iraq as long as his primary goals are not disruptive.
And that the way forward is the way forward to achieve our objective,
the way
to
forward.
Succeed in Iraq. And success is a country that governs, defends itself, that is a free society, that serves as an ally in this war on terror.
There are no allies?
What if we discover someday, and I'm not saying this in a figurative sense, it's just as a metaphor for hyperbole, what if we discover someday that he really is retarded? Won't we feel foolish? What if we discover someday, like, what if he has some defect that we don't really know about, but they are, it's some sort of, it's like a being there kind of thing, where he just sort of stumbled his way into office? Like, what if we find out that the president just is a functional retard at some point?
Well, it was supposed to be Jeb Bush, but somebody made a mistake and it was too late to correct it.
they sent in the wrong envelope. Yep. Well, did you see that footage of Bush the first crying?
My son won't listen to my friends. I sent them in there to train him. He refuses to listen to them.
Yeah. And you know why he was crying, if you don't know what we're talking about. There was this footage the other day of George Bush the first.
We played it.
Yeah, we played it, but
couldn't understand it.
I saw the video of him. Where was he at? Wasn't it Florida? Was it the Florida Congress or someplace?
Yeah, Jeb was standing right next to him.
So Jeb Bush is talking there, and George Bush the first, Bush 41, is there, and he's just sort of, you know, and he's just the waterworks are just flowing like soap opera style. And what somebody pointed out later, but what I did not realize, is that, you know, the obvious reason why he's crying is not just because his son is a functional illiterate and steering the country towards that implosion, but also because George W. Bush has made absolutely sure he has guaranteed that Jeb Bush will never be president. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Nobody named Bush.
Because he was next in line.
Usually
it goes Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton.
But now it's going to be, it's going to be Bush, Clinton, Bush, Bush, Clinton now. Because Jeb Bush, nobody named Bush will be president for the next 100 years.
No.
They're going to sit in the political penalty box for quite some time. Because you're right, it was going to be Jeb Bush.
Yep.
Oh, but how sweet if Bush ran, how sweet if Jeb Bush ran in 2008? Because then Bush, it would be Bush versus Clinton. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. That even people who don't care about politics would care about that. If we got to see a Bush-Clinton race in 2008, mm-hmm. That should be the best thing ever. That's almost enough to make me vote.
Yep. Tony Blair says urgent action is needed to straighten out this little war situation.
Uh-huh. My point is not that there's any doubt about either the strength of our cause or, in a sense, the worth of our mission. What we've got to do is get the right strategy to achieve it.
Notice he's saying less.
Thank the maker. Oh, yeah, because it's that thing where they're no longer using the phrase war on terror.
No, it's the way forward.
According
to Mike Deaver.
We're still saying war on terror.
We have to stop that.
The British government now has gotten rid of that phrase. There was a directive from the British government this weekend. Lisa Goddard congratulated me on noting this. There was a directive from the British government this weekend that they are no longer to use the phrase war on terror. For anything, because they realize that it's a stupid phrase that means nothing, and is getting us nowhere. And so it's like in the last days of summer camp or something, when you're just, you know, you're not quite going home yet, but you're going to be heading home in about 5 or 6 days. And so you just are, or like in a hotel. Here's what the British are doing right now. This is like in a hotel. You're on vacation for 10 days. You're staying at the hotel, and what do? The first 8 days you're at the hotel, your clothes are kind of scattered everywhere. You come in, your contact lenses, you just throw them in the corner, and you know, your beach towel, you toss it over there. You don't really put it, food scattered everywhere. But then, like, 2 days before you go, you start tidying things up. You come back in, and when you take off your clothes, they go back into the, you know, whatever, the clothes hamper. You know, when you take off your socks, they go into your suitcase to go home. You start tidying up because you realize that you're going to be out of there pretty soon. That's what the British administration is doing right now. They're slowly dissembling their alliance with us because they know it's going to be put in the box soon.
And because Tony Blair says it's important not to make the wrong moves in Iraq.
If we start saying to the people that we're fighting in Iraq,
we don't want to start making the wrong moves there.
Get out, irrespective of the success of the mission, I think that would be very serious.
Yeah, we don't want to start making it, then it'll all go to hell and we'll lose. Yeah.
Well, folks, in the lily white state of New Hampshire, lined up to see a man who wasn't white over the weekend for the first time.
The painted man.
Illinois Senator Barack Obama is expected to announce his decision on whether or not to run for the president after the holidays. But he was a big hit in New Hampshire over the weekend. A lot of people couldn't get in to see him. He had a book signing. He met with a few people, and it was standing room only at a hotel in Manchester.
Are there some voters who would not
vote for an African-American candidate because of race? I'm sure there are. Although those are the same voters who probably wouldn't vote for me because of my politics.
But his middle name is Hussein.
Well, you know, and that's it's going to be curious to see what becomes of him versus Hillary.
Hillary and Obama.
Oh, come on.
Is that the dream ticket?
How great.
And then the next time around will be him.
Oh, how great would that be? That would just be fantastic.
I think I'm correct, and this is something.
Oh, man. But see, and I don't even like to think about it, because then if it doesn't happen... See, don't, why do you have to tempt fate like that? Oh, all right, let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll check with Clyde Lewis. News at Ground Zero, more from the Ministry of Truth.
Oh, they found a new black hole, I heard today. So he might know about that.
Where, here?
Somewhere, in outer space.
In Gresham. Hey, did we ever hear anything about the guy with the arrow in his head?
No, there's been no follow-up on that.
Yeah, but you know, the media here have no idea what's important. They just have no sense of standards.
I would have done it, but we were too busy with the toilet sledgehammering for me to follow up on that.
We're too busy doing hard...
I can only spread myself so many places.
You and Screech. All right, back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Thank you for coming along.
Okay.
I won't play the anymore.
Work the mojo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the second.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It really makes it work.
I don't want to know what's going on between the first and the second.
I don't think anything's actually even happening. That's the creepy part. I think it's just... I think there's a girl... She's like doing a striptease or something. I think she's like... You don't even want to know.
That sounds so awkward.
I think she's just sort of twirling around the room in a bridal gown.
So you're saying you think they're hookers?
I'm not saying they're hookers. I'm saying...
You're saying you think they're hookers.
I didn't say that. I'm not saying I think they're hookers. I did not say that.
Maybe we should have Scotty J try and get one of them on the show.
Yeah. I do not believe that all is as it purports to be in the Screech sex video, though. We'll play the intro later. I'll play. He has a whole taped introduction he does, in which he refers to himself repeatedly as the D-Man. He doesn't call himself Screech, doesn't call himself Dustin. He calls himself, hey, the D-Man here. And he says it just... Wait, let me see if I just a little bit here, if I can...
Give us a little taste.
Just a little taste of Screech. Hold on.
It's the D-Man here checking in with the Brotherhood of the...
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. It's fantastic. All right, it's 503-7... Thank you. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, the host of the Ground Zero Lounge from ClydeLewis.com. Clyde Lewis, hello.
Hey, it's the C-Man here.
Cutman!
Oh. Hey, Cutman.
Work the mojo. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And good times.
That is so bad.
It is. Now, here's the thing about the Screech video is that, this is what I was going to say earlier in the show, he is basically Kyle. He is basically his mannerisms, his behaviors, the way he talks, his speech patterns.
Kyle's totally your go-to guy for a lot of people.
It is.
Everyone reminds you of Kyle.
It is. It's true. Because Kyle is very much an archetype. Kyle, our former intern. Because the engineers, they have a lot of Kyle-isms, too, in their mannerisms. But, yeah, Screech is very much like Kyle, sort of with an afro and sort of a let loose, you know, with a video camera with some horse.
Does he have a beard now or something?
Oh, yeah. No, it's bad, too. And he looks all scraggly and sleazy. Yeah, it's nothing.
Oh, that's not good.
It isn't.
Bitch, where have we gone wrong?
55 long-ass minutes watching that last night. Just because it was show prep. I had to be prepared.
Oh.
It was just horrifying in every conceivable way. So, what's up with the world of Seaman?
Well, I got to thinking as I was looking at...
Seaman.
I got to thinking as I was looking at your website. You know, Sarah was saying she needed a point of reference as to how big a burger cake is. I think my head is big enough for reference.
You look at my website. I've got a picture of Clyde of the burger cake from Thanksgiving.
And burger cake is bigger than my head.
It really is massive. You go to rickemerson.com. Yeah, there's a picture of the burger cake.
And for people who know about my head, it's huge. So
your head is massive, but the burger cake is even more so. It's
no matter,
this is a photo taken, and for somebody who asked about the jar of liquid to the right of the burger cake, that is a jar of Aaron's Romulan Ale,
mm-hmm.
Which
was very good too.
Which I believe is made out of Will It's been in a Visa will, Everclear, and there's something, or I forget what the other ingredient is.
Yeah, I didn't even taste the Visa in it.
It looks lethal, yeah.
Obviously, you know, pretty good. Just, but everything he makes is, like, lethal. You drink it, it makes your nose hairs curl.
Aaron is a man, he has a strong tolerance to alcohol. That's a guy, you've got to be really careful if you let him make your drink for you.
Oh, yeah, he had this chocolate-infused or this coffee-infused drink that I had at his place once, and it was amazingly harsh and, it's good.
So what's up in the world of Clyde Lewis?
Oh, my gosh. Everything is out of control. I think tonight at Dante's, what I'm going to be talking about is I'm going to talk about distractions, things that distract you from some very important stories that may be going on. There have been so many distracting stories that have been coming out lately in the news. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Princess Diana and how not only the Pope and everything, that Princess Diana would be a distraction. And what's really funny is that it wasn't me that said it. Actually, it was Sadie that made it up, made that statement, because it was, you know, we were discussing who was going to be the focus of attention, and I thought the Pope was probably going to be off in turn.
Well, did it just come out today that we were spying on Diana? We were, like, bugging her phone the night she was killed?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, why all of a sudden are we focusing on Diana? And it's because of the fact in 2007 it'll be 10 years, but, you know, and so I didn't focus on the right things, and so I feel like I've been really distracted, so I'm going to be showing some of the distractions that I've had in the past couple of weeks, and number of things. First of all, you know, the idea that Michael Richards' little shenanigan that went on to the Laugh Factory was a staged shenanigan, and I'll make a theory about that, and the reason why is because Andy Dick said the same thing a couple days afterwards, and it really didn't make the news. And Don Imus actually said some things about the Jews that weren't so nice, and that didn't make the news. It just seems to be that we focus too much on Michael Richards. And I think that if we go back in time, and I'm going to point this out, there was a little TV show called Fridays. And I don't know if anybody remembers that show. It was happening back in 1981 when Andy Kaufman was doing a show with Michael Richards. And I'm going to point out something that went on there that was really interesting about where Andy Kaufman actually lost it on camera, which you'll see some very interesting parallels with that and what Michael Richards did. Another thing is that Mars, of course, is in the news, that they may have found water on Mars.
I knew you'd be all over that. I knew it. As soon as I saw that, you know, the water on Mars, I could hear the sound of you becoming aroused from, like, across the city.
But for the longest time, I've been talking about, you know, that they've known this since 1976. This is nothing new. So they're now confirming it. And for what reason are they confirming it? Because it's a distraction. At the same time, for those of you that don't know...
Why can't you just be happy about things?
What, about the Mars thing?
Water on Mars. Just a distraction. I mean,
how long have I said there's been life on Mars?
Yeah, but why can't you just be happy when the government comes out and agrees with you for once?
Because I don't care if the government agrees with me. That's not the point.
That's not true. Your whole thing is that the government is lying to us and the government is evil.
No, that's not my
whole
thing.
When the government agrees with you... You're not even happy about that.
I've never said that. I've always said, why do I need the government to back up what I say? They don't, because I think what I'm saying is, you know, it stands to reason. I've talked about this, and you know me. I've talked about this long before any government acknowledgement or NASA's acknowledgement. That's why I'm saying I think this is a distraction, and I think that one of the things, too, is that, you know, you see this war is out of control, and what do they do when the war is out of control? They bring out the moon set. And they decide to set it up again so our astronauts can play on the little moon set with the lights on them and the cameras rolling.
Wait, let me... Hold on. I don't understand. Okay, so you think that the government knows about... That they're telling the truth about Mars...
No.
And yet they're lying about the moon.
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that they are conveniently saying that now there may be life on Mars, and they're conveniently...
They didn't say that.
Yes, we're going
to... They didn't say that.
Well, they said there's water.
They said there's... See, this is what you do. They said that there may be or has been, like, dampness on Mars, and then... But see, you suddenly... Yeah, see, we caught it right now as it happens.
How long ago?
Life on Mars!
No. They said that if there is water, then there probably is warm springs under Mars that may have life. Gilbert Levin has said there's been a life on Mars since 1976 when they did the water. They analyzed water that allegedly was in the Martian surface, and they denied Gilbert Levin.
Why must you be so relentlessly negative?
I'm not negative. I'm just trying to point out that I think it's kind of convenient that this is happening, especially now when we need all these distractions from Rumsfeld getting taken out and the fact that the new commission report says that, you know, Iraq is falling apart. And it's like I said, you know, when things go wrong, we always use outer space to get people to look up and look away. And they're using Mars, and then I'm saying we're going to the moon in 2020. And I don't know if you've taken a look at the, all the moon stuff that they're putting together. It looks nothing like what we had back in the 1960s. And in fact, it looks even more complicated than it was back in the 1960s with solar panels on the new the new moon.
Why wouldn't they just use the same moon set?
Because they want to make it look better. And also, if you want to look back a couple months ago, remember I told you that they lost the moon footage. The original moon footage is lost, and they can't find it. And they don't want to be able to compare any of it. And so, you know, you can't go back and get details out of the original moonshot because you lost all of the old moon footage. Now, that's got to give you some reason to speculate that something is amiss. And that, you know, they also lost all the plans to all the old moon, you know, the lander. They don't have plans to it anymore. They don't have the plans to the Saturn V.
What, it's like in a drawer somewhere? Or
no, they just lost them. They just conveniently lost all of it.
Okay.
All of it, conveniently. And so what I'm saying is that, you know, even Ronald Reagan said that, you know, our differences vanish when we have some sort of a threat from outer space or when something's up in outer space. And, you know, and back in the day when the war was going awry in Vietnam, we put out the moon set and our astronauts were up on the moon and people got tired of it after about 2 days and then we put our toys away and no one cared.
Do you or do you not think we went to the moon?
I don't think we went to the moon.
Okay.
And
ever?
I think we eventually...
When do you think we went to the moon?
Had to have been at least early 70s.
Okay.
But that's even neither here nor there because, I mean, you take a look at all that stuff and you know, what I want people to understand is that even if they didn't fake the moon landing, they could have.
But you think they did?
What?
You don't think we went?
I don't think we went, no.
Okay.
The more I look into it, I don't think we did. And I think that if you take a look around you and you see just how much money can go into selling junk science to people,
yeah.
I think that, you know, like, for example, there's this thing that out right now. I'll hurry up with this. The movie Inconvenient Truth is now on DVD.
Right.
And 50,000 copies were meant to be given to the National Student Teachers Association. And they said, this is a no-brainer. We'll give it to students. They'll be able to learn about global warming. Well, the National Student Teachers Association said nix to it because they said, well, this will probably ruin our contributions we get from who? ExxonMobil. So obviously ExxonMobil can pay all kinds of money to keep certain information out of the hands of students, just like all kinds of scientific organizations can pay all kinds of money to get you to think that we landed on the moon back in 69.
Fantastic. So, will you be discussing any of these things tonight at Dante's?
I probably will because I'm pissed off and I don't care what people think because they're all reptilians. Every goddamn
one of them. Yeah. All right. Clyde Lewis, 8 o'clock tonight, Dante's?
Yes.
Clyde, I'd like to leave you with this thought.
Work the mojo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, man.
Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, ClydeLewis.com. Thank you, sir. God, love that guy. Clyde Lewis. All right, there you go.
I love the Clyde.
I know. He's, you know, why can't he just, the government comes out?
It's true.
Clyde Lewis is right. There's water on Mars. Clyde, well, screw them!
It's probably very frustrating for him that he's been saying this for years, and now they're finally like, oh, okay, you're right.
I know. And Rich, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Rick. Hi. It won't be as fun now that Clyde's gone, but...
It never is.
I have the original moon footage on a National Geographic special and a videotape. I'm looking right at it. I have the original moon footage.
I know. I was going to ask that. It's like when they say, like, well, we lost the original copy of It's a Wonderful Life. What are we going to do? Well, it's on every year. What do you mean? Just tape it. Like, I hear them say that about movies now. What are we going to do? We've lost Gone with the Wind. It's on TV somewhere right now. Just run your goddamn TiVo.
There you go. Yeah. Well, my baby's crying, so I got to go.
All right. Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Rich. All right, Tim Riley rejoins us in mere moments here at the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, we now rejoin Tim Riley with the AM 970 Noon News Hour.
A 21-year-old Clackamas County man was stabbed on his hand and face by his mother when she discovered he ate some of her popcorn. The woman, Lipo Lepazama, was angry and intoxicated at the time of the attack. She slapped the popcorn from her son's hands onto the floor, demanded he clean it up. He refused and went into his bedroom. His mother went into the kitchen and grabbed a knife and stabbed her son with it.
How old is he?
21.
Well,
he required 34 stitches. He was hesitant to identify his mother, but of course, time went on and people found out who his mother was. Apparently, she was arrested for assaulting him back in 2001.
Seriously, it's 21. You're 21 years old. It's time to move out of crazy mom's house.
Mm-hmm. The man told police he worried that he had soiled a bath towel with his blood. And worried about the potential consequences he would suffer from his mother when she learned about the dirty towel. Apparently, the mom was very uncooperative.
Seriously, is the mom, does he speak to the mom in her voice and carry her down to the fruit cellar when female company comes over? Uh-huh.
And it doesn't say if the popcorn was eaten after that.
Or evil.
Norman, they're all whores, every one of them.
So I look into this man with the arrow in his head.
Fantastic.
And he underwent surgery.
Is he a wild and crazy guy?
It doesn't really say.
Police said Evans did not try to pull the arrow out himself, so that increased his chance of survival.
Oh, see, I would pull the arrow out myself, and then I would be dead. But that's your instinct. Maybe he learned from Steve Irwin.
That could
something penetrates your body. Don't pull it out yourself.
So Joe Malicott, who sells bows at Archery World, says they're made for one specific purpose: to kill a large game. He added that this incident puts a bad light on a sport that many enjoy.
Of course. We're disparaging the fine sport of firing bows randomly in Gresham.
Kenton, Missouri woman, says she was groped early yesterday morning while waiting in line at a Taco Bell drive-thru.
Fantastic.
A disheveled white man opened her unlocked passenger door, climbed in her car, and fondled her while she was waiting to pick up her order. She honked her horn, and then the man took off. He's described as a white male, wearing a dark jacket and a hood. Meanwhile, back to A we go for more fun-filled Washington-type things here. President Bush is, quote, working through, unquote, issues on Iraq, and will have something to announce when he's ready to do so, says Tony Snow. He tampered down any speculation about pending U.S. troop withdrawals from Iraq.
It remains the president's belief that, yes, you want to withdraw U.S. troops under the proper conditions. It's conditions-based, and it is when you're in a position to have an Iraq that can stand up, sustain government, and defend itself.
This is not a response to last week's report of the Iraq study group. Despite plummeting U.S. public opinion on Iraq, Snow said the White House is very optimistic.
Nobody has a crystal ball, but the president has made it clear to Iraqis and to the United States that we want to have this succeed, but we want to succeed as quickly as possible.
Well, let's send our crystal balls to Washington right now. Put an end to this.
I was going to say, you can borrow mine if yours isn't working, pal.
Everybody else seems to be very clear.
Mine is functioning. Mine was functioning 3 years ago when we said that you weren't going to find any weapons of mass destruction.
I see hundreds of thousands leaving Iraq right now, as they are every day. The ones who can walk.
Seriously. So, you may want a successful... Hell, I want to be 6'5" and play a power forward for the Lakers. It's not going to happen. So, you know, you just... As my mom would say, wish in one hand and spit in the other, sir. And see which fills faster. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Now, what other good are we accomplishing in the world? Apparently, we bugged Princess Diana's phone calls the day she died.
Diana was not the target, but she was a search term. The NSA works in concert with its colleagues over in the UK and Australia and elsewhere, and they share this information. Why they had a search term for Diana? Well, she was a dignitary. She was attached to the royal family.
That's a CIA agent named Mike. He said it's been known for quite some time that Diana's driver was drunk at the time of the wreck.
Henri Paul, the driver of the vehicle, and he died in the accident as well, was drunk. Was well over three times the limit for alcohol.
And we didn't
and
help him to stop.
That piece of information came out shortly after the accident.
Seriously, we're bugging her and presumably monitoring everything she does that night, and we realize the guy who's piloting the car is sauced into the bag. And then, should we stop it? No, it'll be funny. But watch, they're trying to go into a tunnel. Has she really been dead for 10 years?
Yeah, it was right before I moved here.
97. God damn, man, how time flies. Well, one suspects that a new Elton John memorial song is imminent, so let's all brace for that. Ugh, good God. All right.
Once again, The View is stirring up controversy. New York City Council member John Liu sent a letter to Barbara Walters demanding an apology. John Liu.
Who?
John Liu. Sent a letter to Barbara Walters demanding an apology for remarks made by, yes, Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, all right.
I'm sorry. That's me.
On the show's December 5th edition, O'Donnell noted that Danny DeVito's drunken rant made international news.
Oh, all right. The fact is that it's news all over the world. Yeah. But, you know, you can imagine in China, it's like, ching dong, ching dong, ching dong, ching dong, Danny DeVito, ching dong, ching dong, ching dong, drunk The View, ching dong.
Apparently, I was going to say African Americans, but these would be Asian Americans were very offended.
Well, who's to say? Fantastic. I was just going to say that before she even started speaking, like this, that voice of hers.
Yes.
Is just...
Oh, all right. Well, the fact is that it's news all over the world. Yeah. But, you know, you can imagine in China, it's like, ching dong, ching dong, ching dong, ching dong, Danny DeVito, ching dong, ching dong.
Do you ever wonder how people in other countries imitate Americans talking? I bet you've never wondered that in your life, but now you're... Well, look.
They have. You haven't seen parodies of people making fun of Americans?
But only when they're speaking in English. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've seen the gag where, like, somebody from Britain talks in an exaggerated stupid, and it's all... And when somebody from another country speaks like an American, they always speak like some idiot white bread guy from Beaverton. It's always a lot of, like, You know, I am going to the store to pick up my dry cleaning. Then I am going home to have relations with my obese wife and our many children. And
you can always tell Americans in foreign countries because they're always bragging about stupid things. Like where I'm from, we have the largest strip mall in our neighborhood.
At my house, I can get Froger 24 hours a day if I wish. Well, see, and that's my whole thing.
And then they always break something in the restaurant. Every time.
Do you have a grilled cheese on the menu somewhere?
I'm sorry, I just broke all these dishes. I am an ugly American.
Will you take an unnumbered personal check? Well, you know, so Laura's getting ready to go to Italy. And she's going for for 2 weeks, and I'm joining her for the second week. And so
you are? You're traveling abroad? Is that correct? Or is this just a dream?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to, but I have no choice. I'm being forced
to. Get your passport,
really. It's not till next year, so I have a lot of time. You'll be hearing many complaints about it. I have a lot of time to complain. So, but she's boning up on how not to be an ugly American. As we get closer to it, we will take observations from the audience and how I may not spread shame for my people everywhere. Because I'm sure all of my normal behaviors, I'm sure left to my own devices, I would be an embarrassment to my nation, my culture, my people, everyone. So, anyway, but she's watching all of these shows, like Rick Steves. You know that guy, Rick Steves?
Oh, yeah. I love him.
Yeah. Rick Steves is her new companion. As she puts it, he's not much to look at, but boy, does he know Europe. Mm-hmm. So
Rick Steves is brilliant.
She's got the Rick Steves, like, language guide.
I have everything of Rick Steves. Before I went to London,
she's
my best friend.
Rick Steves is totally like her, that is her Obi-Wan for learning how to travel through. And because the great thing about Rick Steves is, they don't label it this way, but he really does teach you how not to be an offensive idiot, you know, stupid white American. That really is what that show is for, how not to embarrass yourself. So I'm going to have to watch a whole lot of that because
I'm sure there'll be plenty of hatefulness toward Americans by next year if it's as bad as it is right now. We still have 2 more years of push.
I seriously am thinking about just getting a big maple leaf and just pretending I'm Canadian. I mean, I really, it's not that I'm ashamed of America in any way. I just don't want to be beaten. That's really what it all comes down to.
Well, that's what they told us to do when I was traveling in 2000. Or no, it was, 2000. They told us to all pretend to be Canadians in my workshop. When I was going to London.
All right. Even in London, really?
Mm-hmm. In London, anywhere. They said, do not tell anybody that you're American.
Tell them you're from Chilliwack, British Columbia.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. See, my sister is now Canadian. She's now a godless Canadian. So I can pick up some tips from her.
Yeah.
I can talk about the hockey and back bacon and so forth. What was my point with all of this? Blah, 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 ugly. Oh, yeah.
Well, this is the first time you've disclosed this information to us.
So Lara's going to Italy for 2 weeks. That's next September. It's not for a long time.
So she's allowing you to go for 1 week.
We'll be fired by then, and I'm sure. I'm sure that I'll just be back to post. You'll only be able to follow us on my blog, because we won't be here anymore, probably. But
I don't know. How many radio shows go around smashing toilets with sledgehammers?
Really? That's the way to a 15 share. So she's going to Europe to Italy for 2 weeks. I will be joining her for the second week. So she will be there by herself for a week, and then I will be... Because she knows that she knows that 2 weeks is too much to ask. She knows that I would never make it. She knows that a week in another country away from all things, you know, South East Portland
is
good. Beyond that, I would just become... I would become untenable, I believe. But when you see Americans depicted in foreign films, and whenever they depict an American, I've seen the American way of speaking parodied by people of other countries. So this Roseanne thing, Rosie O'Donnell thing, I really am interested about
it. All right, well, the fact is that it's news all over the world. Yeah. But, you know,
right
you can imagine in China, it's like, ching dong, dong, ching dong, dong, ching dong, Danny DeVito.
That where she's pretending to be speaking Chinese or whatever it is, and you know, and not to, but saying nothing.
Right.
Is there some?
I mean, they'd be much better off putting Dick Clark on.
Is there? You are a bad person.
Brains. That was a gimme.
That was the low hanging comedic fruit of the Rick Emerson Show. No, I'm serious about this. It's like that question I have for the longest time, which has never really been satisfactorily answered, by the way, about what does a Chinese typewriter look like? Everybody has sort of weighed in, but no one's just sent me a goddamn
picture
of one.
They're probably not allowed.
Well, how about a Japanese typewriter? Any character-based language.
Okay.
How do you have a typewriter in a character-based language? And people have weighed in on this, but nobody has just done what I've asked, which is because it's your job to do my work for me. It's just to send me a picture of one.
A Japanese typewriter.
I want a picture of a Japanese typewriter. Just because, well...
They probably don't make them anymore.
Because it bugs me. I mean,
a Japanese keyboard would do it.
I just don't understand how a character-based language functions with a typewriter. I mean, do you know... Does anybody know, Sarah?
No. Nope.
So, like a Hebrew typewriter, is there such a thing? These are the things I think about. No, but my other question is, in another country, let's say China or Japan or wherever, is there, what does it sound like when somebody from another tongue imitates an American, but with just gibberish? I really honestly wonder what that sounds like. And there's really no 800 number you can call to learn these things. There's really no one who can answer this question.
Or a booklet from Pueblo, Colorado.
To catalog Pueblo, Colorado, 80. I would give anything to find the audio of that commercial. Might be on YouTube somewhere. Should we break here?
Sure, why not?
Yep.
All right. Hey, coming up, Ed McCarthy's going to talk about Prince shaking his buttocks frantically at the Super Bowl in whenever the hell that is, January, February, whatever. We'll talk about the Screech video. We got Peter Carlin coming up for the Oregonian. More of Tim Riley. We'll be smashing listener Ryan's toilet in the 2 o'clock hour and looking for the cell phone buried within. And we'll ask this question, what is the worst noise ever? It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.